Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a momentous occasion here in the Prom Ballroom in St. Paul this evening, where some 1,000 dealers in radio and television are gathered to salute the beginning, the official beginning, of television in the Twin Cities. We are going to present a half-hour program which is the first of its kind to be presented simultaneously over AM, FM, and television. And now it is my pleasure to present to you the toastmaster for this occasion, Dr. J. O. Christensen, superintendent of the University of Minnesota Agricultural School. Dr. Christensen.
Thank you, Mr. Layton, and good evening, friends. And to the some 3,000 homes, pull up your chairs just a bit closer and see how this group of television leaders looks to you. It is only about 10 years ago that Brooks Henderson of KSTP brought a television demonstration to the farm campus of this university at our Farm and Home Week program. Now those 10 years have gone by, and today is Tea Day for the Midwest. I don't know just why they have me lead off here, other than that they want to see if I get through this television screen all right, then all the others will have no difficulty in getting through. Today, I said, is Tea Day for the Midwest. Here in the land of the sky blue water, through the power of science and the divine, it is possible for us to come into your homes, almost in actual person. This televised program is epochal, not only in entertainment possibilities, but in education. Truly a new day is dawning on the airwaves. This may well be the harbinger of much more. And may this banquet tonight be a tribute not only to the achievements of science, but even more to a way of life, to a system of government which has so favored our people. And may we in humility accept the graciousness of the divine and here pledge the use of these instruments of science to the good of man, to the greater understanding among all Americans, and toward not further disruption, but rather a stabilizing of the forces that have made us a great people, to whom all the oppressed look with hope tonight. Ours is truly the legacy of the ages, and it's very interesting to note the fact that science, which has given us this medium, takes a broad view. Molecules know no boundaries, no class, no creeds of hate. Neither can we if we would lay the foundations for an era of peace and well-being on Earth. This great television was once just a dream in the mind of a dreamer. May we be instruments or translators of dreams into realities, so that someday, as alchemy was transformed into chemistry and bloodletting into modern-day surgery, so may the social dreams of understanding and progress through science become realities in one people throughout all Christendom. My friends, to those gathered round your receivers in your own homes and you here tonight, I count it a privilege to give you the inaugural of this instrument of science toward that end. And first of all, I introduce to you the distinguished guests here at the head table. Beginning at my left, will these guests, as introduced, kindly stand, and will all of you withhold your applause until the last guest is introduced at the head table here on my right. Mr. Joe Cook, the sales promotion manager of station KSTP-TV. Mrs. Joe Cook. Mr. K.W. Emanuelson, Minneapolis district manager of the Northwest Bell Telephone Company. Mr. Kenneth M. Hance, vice president of station KSTP-TV. Mr. Colonel T.A. Holdall, director of the International Trade Department, Minneapolis Chamber of Commerce. And Miss Patricia McLean, Queen of the Lakes, Minneapolis Aquitanial. Mr. George Jensen, Chairman of the Minneapolis Aquitanial Committee. Mr. William C. Sims, Assistant to the Mayor of the City of Minneapolis. Then I skip the next three because they are speakers on our program, as is also the first man on my right. And second man on my right, Mr. Stanley E. Hubbard, president of the station KSDP-TV. Then the next one I skip as a speaker and introduce to you next Mrs. Fred M. Truax. Then Mr. Chaplain Braugh of the Soldiers' Home. Then Mr. Edward C. Humphrey, otherwise known as King Boreas the 11th, the St. Paul Winter Carnival and Vice President of the St. Paul Association of Commerce. And then the Queen of the Snows, Miss Maxine Emerson, the St. Paul Winter Carnival. And the Prime Minister to His Majesty, Alan R. Lindgren of the St. Paul Winter Carnival. Mr. J. Benton Minnick, Television Merchandise Manager of Motorola Corporation. Mr. H.C. Nichols, St. Paul District Manager of the Northwestern Bell Telephone Company. Mr. Frank L. Madden, representing St. Paulites Incorporated. And Mr. Theodore Pritkin, Sales Manager for the Midwest for the Philco Corporation. Now may we give a hand of applause to this entire group. I present to you Chaplain Braugh of the Soldiers' Home, who will give us a word. Chaplain Braugh.
God molds in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. I'm thinking tonight of the thousands upon thousands of maimed soldiers lying upon their sick beds in veterans' hospitals, in soldiers' homes throughout our land, men who are shut out from the rest of the world, lying upon beds of pain. To them, the introduction of this wonderful instrument in the hands of God to bring to them comfort upon their sick beds and to bring to them the light of the outside world is going to be a wonderful boon. And I hail the introduction of television as one of the wonderful miracles among these men and women who have been shut out from the rest of the world because of illness, broken hearts, broken spirits, broken bodies as the result of their great sacrifice for this nation.
Those of you who are tuned in the various receivers will understand that all of these addresses of necessity must be very short. Now I call on Commissioner Fred Truax, in line with the dedication of this medium, in the interest of education, most fitting that our first speaker be the Commissioner of Education, Commissioner Fred Truax of St. Paul.
Mr. Chairman, Your Majesties, and royalty from our sister city, and Mr. Royal of NBC, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. It's a great privilege and pleasure for me to speak in behalf of the people of St. Paul in welcoming a gathering of this kind within the borders of our city to institute the use of television and bring to our Twin Cities that fine instrument of communication. Our KSDP station has been in the forefront of bringing to the Twin Cities the latest in radio communication, and I take pleasure tonight in offering to them my congratulations upon this new venture. I wish for them every success, and I hope and trust that it will bring to our community the finest in radio performance and the advantage of having the very newest in communication. Again, may I express my gratitude for the opportunity to be a part of a gathering of this kind, marking this type of progress in our community.
it gives me pleasure to present to you, His Honor, the mayor of the city of Minneapolis, Mayor Hubert H. Humphrey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Our distinguished guests, members of the Winter Carnival St. Paulites, Aquatennial, distributors and dealers of television and radio in the Twin City area. As Dr. Christensen has pointed out, this is indeed a very historic hour. And I, for one, can speak possibly from just a little practical experience, because it has been our good fortune out in our home to have a television set these last couple of weeks. And I might say that it has done more to bring joy and happiness to our children and to our family and to the neighbors that are there about us than any other single instrument that could be possibly brought into the household. I might say also that television is bringing to this city of Minneapolis, I should say these cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, a great new industry. A great new industry that not only means economic well-being, but means well-being in the field of education, in the field of research, in the field of science, and in all that bodes well for good living for good people. To KSTP, I want to extend our heartfelt congratulations from the people of Minneapolis for your leadership. We too claim KSTP because it has its towers partly in Minneapolis and partly in St. Paul. It acts, as if you please, as a bridge between the two cities that now live together in such spirit of friendship and brotherly love. Good luck to everyone, and again, congratulations to television and KSTV TV.
Thank you, Mayor Humphrey. And now I present to you Mr. John K. West, Vice President in charge of Public Relations of the Victor Division of the Radio Corporation of America. Mr. West.
Toastmaster, Mayor Humphrey, Commissioner Truax, Mr. Hubbard, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. Whatever I might have said tonight, I've been gradually cutting down this talk. I could not express nearly as well as your local papers have here today. If you have not done so, I commend you to the fine reading of the Times, Tribune, Star, Press, and Dispatch as having unbelievably covered television not only for this Twin City area, but also television for the entire United States. Tremendous accomplishments have long been predicted for television. And now today, those predictions are coming true. Had we held a meeting here 2 years ago, we could have done nothing but look to plans for the future. Then there were but a few thousand television receivers scattered in two or three cities across the country. Today, however, we can look to great attainments. There are some 300,000 television receivers in this country operating in some 21, 22 cities. By the end of this year, there should be somewhere between 750,000 and a million receivers operating in about 50 cities. Next year, who knows? Why predict foolishly an industry that has not only turned the corner, but is today on a superhighway that knows no speed limits? For Minnesota to take its place among the states with television service is probably of greater significance than it is first apparent. For one thing, it means that television is being less concentrated in a few primarily eastern markets. For another thing, while television may seem new to Minnesota, we in the East have always looked to an experiment that took place out here when Minnesota played a part in the coaxial cable experiment, relaying television programs between Minneapolis and Stevens Point. This experiment laid much of the foundation for the 12,000 miles of coaxial cable, which the American Telephone and Telegraph Company is now working on and promises to have an operation in the near future. On behalf of RCA, who has always hoped and worked for television, which could cover and truly serve all of America, we welcome the Twin Cities to television and congratulate you for being the among the pioneer cities first to realize and utilize the wonderful art and science that brings all of us together here tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. West. Through the utilities of America has come a tremendous stimulus in the interest of better living through science. Mr. H. E. Young, chairman of the board of the North Central Electrical Industries and vice president in charge of sales of Northern States Power, will now speak to you. Mr. Young.
Mr. Chairman, members of the electrical industry, and more especially of the radio and television industry, ladies and gentlemen, and not overlooking those guests whom I see here as prospective sponsors of these programs, from which I imagine it is expected that will derive its revenue, may I, in behalf of the electrical industry, express the feeling that we in this industry recognize this as another milestone in the electrical industry. We have passed many of those milestones. We have seen various devices come on the market and become household utilities and become independent and big businesses in themselves, useful to the home, the farm, the factory, and in business. And we realize that this is another one of those milestones which we are now encountering. And no one can tell what its future may be. Just imagine. Most of us can remember when the radio presented itself. Last year, just the home radio sets alone represented a business of $1.5 billion. And the electric refrigeration industry, which is what we call new, last year represented a business of over $800 million. And so on down the line, we could enumerate them indefinitely. And now nobody would dare to predict what this new equipment, this new device may mean in the way of a new business and the way of another service to the home, to the farm, and to the many applications to which it may be put. And in behalf of the electrical industry, and more specifically in behalf of the radio and television industry of this area, we recognize that all of this has not been done without a lot of pioneering work, a lot of research, a lot of energy, and a lot of money. It hasn't grown up overnight. It hasn't just been dropped in our lap. It's taken years and years and years of research, money, and effort. And in behalf of the radio and television industry in this area, I am asked to show our appreciation for a pioneer who has been a pioneer in the radio industry and now becomes a pioneer in the television industry, Mr. Stanley Hubbard. And in behalf of this industry, may I present to you this plaque, Stanley, who has to date invested $1.25 million getting this thing started, and I don't know how much more he'll have to invest before he gets it on its own feet. And Stanley, it's my pleasure to present to you, in behalf of the radio and television industry, this plaque commemorating this inauguration and in compliment to you for your pioneering spirit in bringing this to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Young. And now we present to you Mr. John F. Royal of the National Broadcasting Company. Pre-war, he was vice president in charge of all the NBC programs, started and is directing television for NBC. Vice president of the National Broadcasting Company, Mr. John F. Royal.
Royal. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, I think the presentation of that plaque to Stanley Hubbard is one of the finest things that I've seen. Stanley Hubbard deserves much credit for what he's done in radio and in television. And I can assure you that his progressive spirit has done a lot with us, because he was the first to sign a contract with the National Broadcasting Company for our television program. If you ever had him on your neck trying to get service, you realize what a pest he can be. But he usually gets results. I remember some years ago, he was after us to take the Minneapolis Symphony. And it was through his efforts that we took the Minneapolis Symphony on the network. Later, he was after us to take the Ice Carnival. And for 2 years, he pressed us to take it. And the first year we took it, all the instruments from the band froze, and we had to take it off because we get nothing out of the show. Now he's doing the same thing in television. And you ask, what is he going to send you in the way of programs? Because after all, that is what television is going to mean. The engineers, you can depend upon them to make a fine instrument, to go into your homes, and they'll get the prices lower so that they will become much more saleable. Although I think the price they have now is quite worth what they're charging. But it will be the programs on these sets that will make or break television. The advertiser will put these programs on. And the networks will cooperate with the advertiser in the producing of these television programs. I can assure you that the programs for television will go beyond anything that you have ever imagined. Now, that doesn't mean just song and dances or just variety programs or comedy or humor. But it will be the best in education. It'll be the best in cultural programs. It'll be the best in contributions to the religious thought of our country. But there are new techniques that we must learn in the presentation of these various programs, and at the present time, we don't know yet quite how to do them. In the matter of controversial subjects, you will have such programs offered to you. But again, we must be very careful on how we handle such programs, because it's going to take much research and experimenting in how best to handle them. Now, television is a world organization. It isn't just in New York or it isn't in this country, because no one country can supply the amount of programming that will be necessary. It means world programming. And at the present time, we are setting up throughout the world, rather slowly at the present time, organizations to cover news by film, and you will have 3 or 4 changes of news a day. Not in a week or a month, but you'll have news reels changing 3 or 4 times a day as a result of the high-speed airplanes that are coming from all over the world. Now we'll have the talent of the world put on film and brought to this country. And programming will be a two-way proposition. It isn't that only programs will come into your Twin Cities, but programs from the Twin Cities will go out to the rest of the country. And that will be an important feature of television, that the beauties of this great country and the programs from your educational institutions. And it will be a great pleasure for me personally to see the power plays of Minnesota shown to those boys in the East who think that they're the only ones who know anything about football. But you can be sure that in sports, we have shown at the present time, I think we've shown more progress in sports and drama than anything else. We've been limited by Mr. Petrillo on the use of music, but that's been cleared up so that you will now have the finest in music. We've had Toscanini picked up twice within the last month. I hope that Mr. Toscanini will do Falstaff in opera in the fall, And you will find on some of our competing networks other features that will be quite worthwhile, so that within a year, and I hope the AT&T will have a connection here in a short time, they're rushing their connections as fast as they can, that you will be getting network programs from the East and from Chicago and from the other cities where we are making connections. Now, there is one phase of television that's most important, and that is the responsibility for keeping the programs clean and wholesome. The scrutiny of programming will be much more acute in television than it ever was in radio. That doesn't mean that radio is not clean, but in television, gestures and certain bits of business in studios will have to be watched very, very carefully, because we respect the fact that we're being permitted to go into the homes. That's a rare privilege, to go into the American home, and we don't wish to abuse it. Now, television is a cooperative proposition. It's something that depends on the people, you, the people. It depends on the advertiser. It depends on the station operators. It depends on the government, who must give us opportunities to work out our problems. It must be free, and our programs must be free without any hampering of censorship. So that if we all work together, I'm sure that we will bring about what Dr. Christensen has so vividly given to you, a better way of living. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Royal. And thanks to all who have participated in this historic occasion. May each of you remember as we conclude this program, that you have participated in one of the most historic occasions in broadcasting and television, perhaps that there will ever be known. And I'm happy to have had a part in it from the standpoint of education, where I think we just barely begin to imagine the tremendous possibilities in the field of education, which through that field we may stimulate better understanding and stabilize this form of government which means so much to all. And now I turn this program over to the stage and to Randy Merriman.